Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Lamed Gimel, and we're going to start in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom Gufa. So the Gemara repeats actually an issue din that we learned in the previous shir from Reish Lakish. Gufa Amar Hashem Ben Lakish, Shachet as a Kana, if somebody first shechted the Kana, Vakach Nikva Hareya, and then the lung develops a hole. Kshera, the animal's lakasha. So a few words of introduction to understand this Gemara. We all know, we're going to learn extensively in the next parak, that obviously an animal that has a punctured lung, the kuvas hareya, is a trefa animal. We also know, and mathematically, that the kana, the windpipe, is connected to the lung. And therefore, and this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, if the kana is cut, even though if a lung is punctured, it's a trefa. That's only if it's punctured before you cut the kana. But once you've cut the kana, it doesn't make a difference if the lung is punctured. It's not really accomplishing anything because the windpipe, the trachea, is punctured. And therefore, then the halacha is that it doesn't make a difference if it developed the hole after cutting the kana. The Rishonim point out, and this is very much the way Rashi learns the Gemara, it's only the kana. It's only the reya. It's only the lung. You know, we could make an argument, the Rishonim say, that the heart is also connected. So what happens if the heart develops a hole after the kana is cut? That's not the case. One point. The Meiri makes a very interesting observation. He says that even though our Gemara is teaching us, Reish Lakish is teaching us, that if the lung develops a hole after the kana is cut, it doesn't make the animal into trefa. He says only if the lung has a hole. But let's say the entire lung was removed from the body before the veshit is cut, that would be a trefa. It has to remain there. It can remain there with a hole. That's the Miri's point. Ksav Sofer, based on a Rashba, says that this entire din of Reish Lakish is based on a machloikis that we learned earlier in our perek. Earlier in our perek, we learned the machloikis of yeshen l'shchit metchila v'atsoif, or ein l'shchit alul psoif. How do we look at the act of shchita? Says the Ksav Sofer, the Reish Lakish's din is only acceptable if we hold yeshen l'shchit metchila v'atsoif. So when you cut the kana, you're doing something. So since when you cut the kana, you're doing something, so even though the reya gets a hole afterwards, it doesn't bother me. But if we hold ein l'shchita el l'psoif, so by the time you get to the shchita of the end, if there's no reya there, and that's the defining moment of the shchita, then you can't say Reish Lakish is din. So just to review, Reish Lakish is telling us that even though a punctured lung is an issue, if the lung is punctured after you cut the kana, it's fine. Amrish Lakish, Shachas a kana vakach nikva reik shera. Comments Rava, Amr Rava, by Amr of Shimon, the Lakish el Bereya. Rish Lakish's position is completely dependent on the Reya. For as we explained, Hoyle v'chai roya tlui b'kana. The lungs are connected to the trachea. The trachea is cut, so there's no purpose in the lungs. Avil v'bnei ma'ayim, other intestines, that are not, the intestines, for example, that are not connected to the kana, they're being cut, would not have any, they're being punctured after the kana is cut, would still make the animal into a trefa. Maskler Reb Zeira, to which Reb Zeira says, Ma'achash nod b'simani trefa. What is Reish Lakish teaching us, says Reb Zeira? That even though the animal now is what is halachically considered a trefa, an animal with a punctured lung is a trefa, if the trephus develops after the kana is cut, an animal at that point can no longer be a trepha. Argues Reb Zeira, mi'achash nod b'simana trepha hitarta, if you're teaching us, says Reb Zeira to Reish Lakish, that if it becomes a trepha after the kana is cut, by the ray being punctured, so ma'li b'ray, ma'li b'nei ma'im. Obviously, what Reish Lakish is saying, says Reb Zeira, that after the kana is cut, the animal can no longer become a trepha. So what's the difference if it's the reya or another organ in the animal? However, says the Gemara, and this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, V'hadbe Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira retracts from this understanding, from this position. The by Reb Zeira, because Reb Zeira asked the following question. Nikvu b'nei ma'ayim. If the intestines develop a puncture between simen l'simen, between cutting one of the simonim and the other simen, mahu, what would be the halacha? Mimit starf simen rishin l'simen sheni l'tarmadei nevela aloi. Which means as follows. In the Farsh and the Rishonim have a beautiful way of explaining this Gemara. When you shecht an animal, what is your goal? So everybody thinks it's an easy question. There's one goal, so I should be able to eat. It's not true. There are two goals. It should be also not tamei, because we know in the veil is tamei. A trefa, so an animal that was properly slaughtered, is not tamei. So what happens, asked Reb Zeira, in the following circumstance? I shechted the first simon. The animal was perfectly healthy. So my shechita had two goals, eating and tumah. Now the animal, Reb Zeira asks, became trefa. There's a puncture in the bnei ma'ayim. So when I shecht the second simon, there's only one purpose, to make it tahar. So Reb Zeira's question is, could the shechita of one simon, which had two goals, and the shechita of the second simon, which only had one goal, combine? But what is Reb Zeira saying? That a trefa for sure is. The only question is it a kosher shechita? So what do we see from here? That Reb Zeira certainly agrees that an animal that became a trefa between the shechita of the first simon and the shechita of the second simon is trefa. Now let's turn to Gemara. The bar Reb Zeira, nikva b'nei ma'ayim. If the intestines develop a puncture, then similar to mahu, what will be the status? Mimit starf sim rishon sim sheni latara b'dein nevela oiloi v'minan. And in understanding Reb Zeira's question, the Gemara says actually this Gemara we're going to learn later on Daf Samach Tes that poses a similar question. Here too, a word of introduction is required. Al pidin, there is meat that you could eat without shechita, midaraisa. If you shecht a female animal, and when you open it up, it has a fetus in it. Midaraisa, that fetus is mutter to be eaten without shechita. Uba yarech ima. But there's one very important condition. That none of that fetus exposed itself or extended any part of its body outside of the mother before the shechita. But if it does, anything that was extended, you could not eat without shechita. So Ilfa discusses the following situation. You shechted the first simon, the entire fetus was inside the mother's womb. Before shechting the second simon, it extends a leg. So that leg you can't eat without, because it wasn't inside during the entire shechita. So now again, says Ilfa, let's look at the shechita of these two simonim. The shechita of the first simon has a different goal, accomplishes different than what the shechita of the second does. The shechita of the first simon allows you to eat the entire uber. The shechita of the second simon only allows you to eat part of the uber, the part that remained inside. And the question that Ilfa posed was, could those two shechita simonim combine? The by Ilfa, haitzi ubes yodai ben simon le simon. If it extended its leg in between the two simonim, mitzdarav simon rishon simon sheni latar medei nevela aloi. So now the Gemara makes the point that we said earlier. When Reb Zeira posed this question about the animal whose intestines got punctured between the two simonim, at kanloi barlon, his question was only latar medei nevela. But he certainly agreed abechila sura. So what Reb Zeira said at the beginning of the shir, that any animal that develops any simen trefa between the first simen and the second simen doesn't bother me, is clearly incorrect. Because if that was the case, there would be no place for his question, what is the din if it develops a simen trefa between the two simonim? Omle Rav Acha Barav Levina, your proof is not really compelling. Because, Dilma Lailam Lehadavir Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira really never changed his position. His position is, the once you shecht the first simon, nothing could go wrong with this animal anymore. As long as it was healthy before you shechted the first simon, if it develops a trefa after the second simon, doesn't bother me. So why is he asking this question? He's asking the question, Rava, clearly doesn't agree with that. And Rava holds that only when you shech the kana, when you shech the kana and the ray gets a hole, that's the one exception. So now he wants to know, the dvar of the Rava, kamalei, he's asking what would Rava hold under this circumstance if another organ developed a trefa between the two simonim? What would be the status of that shechita regarding Hilchas Tahara? But that has nothing to do with his own opinion. V'leilo sfirlei. Says the Gemara, Amar of Achva Yaakov, Shmaminam ad Rish Lakish. From the point that Rish Lakish has been making in our two shurim, the halach would be, Mezamnim Yisrael b'nei ma'ayim, v'ei mezamnim av dekachavim b'nei ma'ayim. A word of introduction. Goyim may not eat Evim and Achai. Goyim may not eat Evim and Achai. According to most Mefarshim, as long as the animal has to be dead, there are poiskim, it's not the majority opinion, that it's not enough that the animal is dead, it had to be killed. That means there's some poiskim that say that an animal were to die on its own, a guy is not allowed to eat that animal. Not that relevant to our shir today. But a guy is not allowed to eat Eva Menachai, a Yisrael is allowed to eat Eva Menachai. Not allowed to eat Eva Menachai either. But there's a special din that we're going to speak about a lot in this Masechta called Pirchus. A Jew, after you do Shechita, is allowed to eat the animal immediately, even if the animal is still convulsing. Pirchus. A guy has to wait for the animal to be completely dead. So now let's think about this Gemara, according to Rish Lakish. You shechted one simen. What did Rish Lakish? You shechted the kana. We have to be clear. According to Rish Lakish, what happens to the lung at that point? The lung is not really, it's collapsed. It's not there. The animal is technically still alive. It's like Pirchus. It's not dead yet. So for a Jew, it's mutter, as Rish Lakish has been teaching us. For a guy, it's still Eva Menachai. Why is it still Eva Menachai? Because it got disconnected from the body before the animal died. Because for a guy, an animal is not dead until its mamish stops. And this animal hasn't stopped at that point, when the lung got disconnected. And therefore, the guy should not be allowed to eat from this lung, even though a Jew may. And the same thing would be b'nei ma'ayim, that the animal is still convulsing, we could eat from it, and the guy can't. Says the Gemara, mezamnin Yisrael b'nei ma'ayim, vei mezamna ev dekachom b'nei ma'ayim. It's very interesting, the Achronim make a very interesting diik, it's very relevant, la'aloch l'maisot. The Gemara is clearly trying to show the distinction what we may eat and the guy may not eat. So what should have been the words of the Gemara? Yisrael oichlem, v'ev dekachom ein oichlem. The Gemara doesn't say those words. Let's look at the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, mezamnim. We could invite them. What's the Gemara trying to prove? So there are chronim that suggest a very interesting shaila. We know that we're not allowed to do averus, but we also have a rule of lefnei ivel lo yisita michshol. We're not allowed to cause another Jew to do an avera. What's the halacha between our relationship with a goy? Does the din of lefnei ivel lo yisita michshol apply by goyim as well? And this is a raya that it does. Because the Gemara is not only saying what the goy may do and may not do, but the Gemara is saying that if I have such a piece of meat, I have to be careful that I know a goy is not allowed to eat it, and I'm not allowed to give it to him to eat. So it's a raya that lifnei iver applies by goyim as well. My tama. And the Gemara explains what we said. Yisrael b'shechita talya milsa. By us, what has to take place in order for us to be able to eat the meat is shechita. So kivin de'ikah shechita ma'ayisa. As soon as the proper shechita has been performed, Ishtrelei, we could eat from the meat, even if it's still being mefarches. Oiv kechavim, the benechiris sagaluhu. By goyim, that has nothing to do with shechita. By goyim, it depends. Misa talya milsa, that the animal completely dies. Hani kevim and chai dami, because this part is still there before the animal has been disconnected before the animal is completely dead. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa. Have you seen the commander of Achav Yaakov? I was sitting in front of Achav Yaakov, and he told me, "Meek immediately saw Shari alav the Kachavim Aser." He had a tremendous ha'ara. He says, "I don't understand. We're allowed to eat it, and Goyim may not eat it." But I didn't agree. I wanted to say this, but I didn't say it, says the Gemara. I gave a good reason. And therefore, even though conceptually there is a room to make an argument, me ik immediately, Yisrael Shari, Lav Dikachavim Asr, I didn't agree. And because, as the Gemara gave a clear distinction. However, says the Gemara, Tanya Deloik Rav Acha B'Yakov, there's clearly a brisa that does follow this concept that we can't end up with a situation that for Yisrael it's mutter, for Goy it's Asr. Because the Gemara speaks about, the brisa speaks about the following situation. If somebody wants to eat from an animal before completely expired, so right after you shech the animal, you should take a piece of meat from the neck, salt it and wash it, and wait till it completely expires, and it says here, everybody could eat it. So let's think about this case. What happened here was, the animal was just slaughtered, and as is clear in all the Rishonim, and it's clear in the next piece of Gemara, people considered eating that type of fresh meat very healthy. So what happens is, the animal still being mefarchis, quickly cut out the piece of meat from the neck, but you can't eat from the piece of meat, the Gemara says very clearly, until the animal dies. You could take the meat, but you can't eat the meat yet. Machlokes Rishonim, if that's midoraisa or midrabanan, that you're not allowed to eat from the meat until it completely expires. The Gemara continues to say, salt it and wash it. So the Rishonim, Tosfos and the other Rishonim discuss, is salting always required? Because we know, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, the Hilchos Melicha teaches us as follows. If you're going to cook a piece of meat, you have to salt it first. If you're going to roast a piece of meat, tzli, you don't have to salt it. So some Rishonim say that that applies to this piece of meat as well. Those are the standard rules. Here you want to cook it, so you have to salt it. If you wanted to roast it, you wouldn't have to salt it. Others say, because it's neck meat, and it's right where the animal was slaughtered, so it's very bloody, and therefore, even if you want to roast it, you have to salt it first. Why do you want to eat the neck meat? So I saw three different explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation is because it's the most accessible. That's exactly where you just cut the neck. So that's where it's most accessible. Other Rishonim, however, say that as we've been saying, and as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, this is being done for health reasons. And they felt that the neck meat, or they wanted to go down a little closer to the heart, was the healthiest meat. And this fresh neck meat or fresh heart meat is particularly healthy. Furthermore, the Rishonim make the point, here it says salt and then wash. We know, again, when we're going to learn Hilchos Melicha, you have to wash before the salting. And even if you're not going to salt, you always have to wash first. So what is the Gemara saying, Medichai, after the salting? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that the Medichai, the Gemara means, is about the Hadachah before salting, not about, that's what the Gemara means. Or, a simpler teretz, that goes without saying, you always have to wash the meat. So the Gemara didn't have to mention it. The salting and the washing afterwards is what the chiddush of the Gemara is, and that's why it's eaten. But what do we see here? That this meat is being removed while the animal is still being mefarchis, and the Braisa clearly says that even a goy could eat it. Why? Because we're allowed to eat it. We can't have a situation that a goy can't have what we had. Says the Gemara, Mesailele Rav Idi Bar Oven. This is clearly a proof to what Rav Idi Bar Oven said. Damar Rav Idi Bar Oven, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashin, Haroitze Shiyavri, if somebody wants to be healthy, Choytech Kezayis Boser, Adai Shchitosa Shel Behema, he should cut out neck meat from the animal, Omel Golcha Yafa Yafa, salted well, Medicha Yafa Yafa, and as I said, Umam Tala Shetet Nafshay, we can't eat until the animal expires, and the stin, says the Gemara, applies echrei v'kachavim v'echis from a tarma. So the Rishonim and Achronim discuss quite extensively this concept that the Gemara speaks about, that we can't have a situation that a goy and a Jew, that there should be a halacha that applies to a Jew and not to a goy. So the Rishonim qualify this. They say, this is only regarding what we're not allowed to do. It has nothing to do with mitzvahs. What's the raya? The Gemara says, Goy Shishavas is Chayiv Misa. So we have to keep Shabbos. And if he keeps Shabbos, he's chayiv misa. So how do we understand it? The answer is they were not talking about something that's usur. They were talking about a mitzvah. And certainly we have mitzvahs and they don't have mitzvahs. Furthermore, the Rishonim make the point that this concept that the Gemara is suggesting has nothing to do with unction. And there are different set of punishments that apply to Yisrael versus Akam. A question that the Rishonim already pose is that even after all the conditions that I just set forth, they make a very interesting point. The Rishonim ask, Yifas Torah. The Torah in Parashat Kisetzeh teaches us that if somebody goes to war and he finds a Yifas Torah, it's a Sugi Masechta Sanhedrin, it's not today's shir, he could have relations with her. But that's only done by a Jew, not by a Goy. So the question is, that's an Isser, it's not a Mitzvah. So here we're saying that you can have a situation that something's mutter to a Jew and not to a Goy. A Yifas Torah is mutter to a Jew and not to a Goy. So what's the easy answer, the Rishonim say? That Yisrael are b'nei kibush, Yifas Torah is taken in kibush, and Akum aren't b'nei kibush. So you could say the same argument by Shechita. Yisraelim are b'nei Shechita, and Akum are not b'nei Shechita. And many Mefarshim don't have a good answer to this question. Tosfos doesn't seem to have a good answer to this question. There are Mefarshim, Achronim, Rebbe Elchanan discusses this, Rishash discusses this. There's a number of ways how to say this answer. They say as follows. A Yifas Torah that was taken by a Jew is a Yifas Torah. It's taken by an Akum is not a Yifas Torah. And therefore, the halacha of Yifas Torah doesn't apply to her. Whereas, if you have a piece of meat that we slaughtered, and now it's a kosher piece of meat, and to say that this very same piece of meat is kosher for me and not kosher for the Akum, we're talking about the same piece of meat. We're not talking about two different Yifas Torahs. And therefore, it's not the same. It's still not the same, because what would be the halacha if Yisrael took a Yifas Torah, would a guy be mutter in that Yifas Torah? It really hinges, and I'm just going to mention it, what is the reason why something, how do we understand this Gemara when the Gemara says that something that's mutter for a Jew must be mutter for a guy? The way they say in the yeshiva, B'chanan discusses it, a Siba or a Simen. What does that mean? Do we say that whatever is the reason, the Siba, that makes a mutter for us, that same reason must apply to a guy? And that isn't necessarily the case, because there are different sets of circumstances that apply to us that apply to the Akam. Or is it a simen? If it's mutter for us, it must be mutter for them. There's also a very famous Mizrahi and Parashas Drachim based on this Gemara. We all remember Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash says, V'yavi Yosef dibasam ra el aviyem. That Yosef told their father Yaakov that the Shvatim were doing Averis. And what does Rashi say was one of the Averis? Eva Menachai. So everybody asks, when we went to Yeshiva, we remember we asked the Shvatim, Eva Menachai, that even a Ben Noach is not allowed to eat Eva Menachai. So the Mizrahi is a Rishon. It says it's our Gemara. They ate this piece of meat that was Mefarchas, from an animal that was Mefarchas, which we're learning in our Gemara, a Jew is allowed to eat it. A Goy may not. What was the Machloikas between Yosef and the Shvatim? The Shvatim considered themselves full-fledged Jews. Full-fledged Jews are allowed to eat this meat. Yosef said it was before Matan Torah. So you're only Jews l'chumra, not l'kula. To be able to eat something that you couldn't eat as a ben noach, we're not enough b'nei Yisrael that we should be able to eat that meat. Furthermore, interesting medrash. The medrash says that when Rivka would walk when she was pregnant with Esav and Yaakov, the pasuk says, v'yisroit tzu habonim b'kirba. And the Medrash quotes a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, and Rashi I think says it, that Yisroit tzu, they wanted to kill each other. And Reish Lakish says, zeh roitza lahatir isur shel zeh. They each want to be matter each other's isur. So Mefarshim say a beautiful pshat. Reish Lakish is according to his shita. He says, Esav could not accept that Yaakov could eat this piece of meat, and he couldn't. What Esav held, what Yaakov is mutter, what's also for him is mutter for Yaakov. Esav couldn't deal with that. That's Reish Lakish Lishitase in our Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish, so he has to say a different pshat. One more final vart. There's a beautiful vart from the Panim Yofes. The Torah says, Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Asadam. So there are two questions on this pasuk. The word rak means but. It's an exception. What is it coming to exclude that the Torah uses the words rak? And furthermore, the Torah tells us about a lot of things that we're allowed to do, that we're not allowed to do. But the Torah doesn't use the word chazak. We have to strengthen ourselves. Why by achilas dam? Maybe you could say other things are more appetizing than dam. That the Torah uses the words achazak specifically by dam. Explains the Ponim Yofes. Our Gemara is teaching us that eating blood is very healthy. Haroitzish yavri. So a person would make an argument, I want to eat blood because it's healthy. So the Torah tells you, chazak. You have to strengthen yourself. Don't come up with excuses to eat blood. So now that we see how serious it is, the isser of eating dam, we think you're never allowed to eat dam. So the Torah says, rak, there is an exception. What is the exception? Our Gemara, haroitzish shiyavri, there's a way of eating bloody meat. Says the Mishnah, hashaych behem of chayva oif, layotz men dam, if somebody shechs a behem of chayva oif and there is no blood that comes out from them, ksheir. It's still kosher. So, as we're about to begin a few dafim of Tumah v'Tahara, the Rishonim make an interesting point. They say it's clear that the point of our Gemara is not to teach us Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara. As we know, the Derech of Shas is that once we come into a Sugya of Tumah v'Tahara, we learn it because there are no Gemaras in Taharas. Our Gemara is really come to teach us Hilchos Shechita. So why Hilchos Shechita do we learn from here that is relevant? I saw a number of Pshatim in the Rishonim. One is our Mishnah talking about Chai V'Oif. And we just discussed the other day that when you shech the Chai V'Oif, you have to do Kisi Adam. So you would think, say the Rishonim, that if there's no blood from the Chai V'Oif and you won't be able to perform Kisi Adam, that should invalidate the Shechita. Teaches us the Mishnah, it doesn't invalidate the Shechita. Another Pshat that I saw in the Rishonim, very much connected to Gemaras that we're also going to learn in this parak, is that the Mishnah and the Gemara later in the parak is going to discuss an animal that's a musukenis, an animal that was very ill before the shechita. And is it considered kosher? It's not considered kosher. What are the situations? So one can maybe think that if an animal doesn't bleed when you shecht it, it must be a musukenis. There must be something very wrong with this animal, because why isn't it bleeding? It teaches us the Mishnah that the lack of bleeding of an animal doesn't make it non-kosher. So it says again the Mishnah, Hashoich behem v'chai v'oif, v'lo yotz mem dam, and no blood comes out, sherim. As we just explained, it's still kosher. V'nechalim v'yudayim v'su'ovis, v'lo shehuch shebedam. Shimon oimer huch shebeshchita. A word of introduction. We know, we learned many times, that food is only susceptible to tumah if it was mukshlakabel tumah. If one of the seven liquids fell on the food with your satisfaction, l'ritzoinoi, before, only then could it be mukshlakabel tumah. So here, says the Tanakama, when no blood came out, so this food never becomes mukshlakabel tumah. I'd Rishonim ask, but how are you going to eat the meat? You have to wash it, we just said a moment ago. So I saw two turutim to that question. One is you're doing tzli, and there are opinions that tzli doesn't require hadacha. Another interesting pshat, the Rishonim say this, is that you wash it with mei peiris. You wash it with fruit juice. Fruit juice is not machsher. So since there was no blood is one of the liquids that's machsher. Here there was no blood, so it didn't become mukshel kabel tumah. A few words of introduction. Our Mishnah is teaching us that under normal circumstances, yodayim are musuavis. Yodayim are considered tamei. Actually, if we learn through the sugyas and shas, it really goes back to Masechta Shabbos, with the Yud Ches Dover and Daf Yud Gimel, there's a history to this. The history was that originally Chazal said that all hands that we don't know what tamei, aren't tamei. And actually, it's a very hard gezeira to understand. Because if Chazal think you're tamei, then all of you are tamei. Where do we find that only the hands are tamei? Either you are or you aren't. So the history goes as follows. One, this is the way most Rishonim explain. The history goes that people would eat kodesh. They would eat kachem with their hands. and we want kachim to be eaten. We don't want kachim to become nicer. So you see me eating kachim with hands that I didn't properly wash, because hands are all over the place, you're gonna be repulsed from eating the kachim. And that kachim won't be eaten. That's an embarrassment to the kachim. The kachim are gonna become nicer. So Chazal said that all hands are considered tamei, which will make that I have to wash my hands before I eat kachim, because otherwise you're not allowed to be metame kachim. And by doing that, that will force me to wash my hands and not repulse you from eating the kachim. So the first phase of the history was that the rule that hands are considered tamei was only for kachim. The next phase was that Chazal said that it should be the din for truma as well. The truma, the hands are considered musu'avais, the hands are considered tamei as for truma. And the last point is what we know till this very day, that bread, which is very similar to truma, because it comes from produce, also may not be eaten without washing your hands first. That's the history. And our Mishnah is teaching us that we don't consider this meat mukh shlakav tamei because it never got wet. Rav Shimon's opinion, we'll learn later in the Perek what he means. So says the Gemara, what is our Mishnah teaching us? Tam de lo yotz mem dam, because no blood came out. Ha yotz mem dam, had dam come out, ein acholim yadayim sofas. That with hands that are not washed, you cannot eat this meat. Ask the Gemara, mai. When we said, as I said a moment ago, that Chazal said that all hands are considered tamei, what does that mean? Chazal said that all hands are considered shniyos, the second level of tumah. And let's explain that. A mace is avia vaisa tumah. It's really the only case of avia vaisa tumah. Everything else that comes in contact with a mace or a sheretz is an ava tumah. What touches an ava tumah becomes a rishon. What touches a rishon becomes a sheni. As far as chulin is concerned, that's it. There's no level of tumah past sheni. For truma, it could go up to a shlishi. And I have to just define some words. There's one word called tamei, and there's another word called pasul. They have very different meanings. Tamei means that the tumah could pass on further. Pasul means it's the last stop. It means it's disqualified, but it can't go further. So a shlishi l'tumah, I should just go back. A sheni l'tumah is the last stop for chulin. It's pasul for chulin, but it's tamei for truman and kachin. A shlishi is pasul l'truma, because truma can't go past the shlishi, but it's tamei for kachim. A revi is the furthest it goes even for kachim. So what are stam yadayim? If I have unwashed hands, what does the halacha call them? The halacha calls them a sheni. And as I just said, by chulin, it doesn't go past the sheni. So our Mishnah is saying, if you somehow were able to shech the animal without any blood coming out, that's why you don't have a problem, which our Mishnah seems to be saying, that if it blood did come out, you'd have an issue. What kind of issue? Even if your hand is a sheni, there's no, by chulin, it doesn't go any further than a sheni. Amai, yadayim shniyas hein, ve'ein sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin. So what's the obvious response that you're going to say? Amai, the b'chulin is skinin. Who says that our Mishnah is speaking about chulin? Says the Gemara, I'll bring you a raya. Because what did our Mishnah speak about? The Tani Chaya. Our Mishnah spoke about Chaya. And says the Gemara, Dilu Kachim, if it were Kachim, Chaya be Kachim Yikka. We know that you could, the Torah says you can never bring a Chaya for a carbon. And actually, Rishonim used this Gemara to discuss a very interesting question. The Yerushalmi discussed this question. It seems in the Yerushalmi says that even though on the Mizbeach, the Torah says it's very clear, Svi Vayol cannot be brought in the Mizbeach. The question is, could you bring a Chayo on a Boma? And the Yerushalmi says you could. So maybe our Gemara is speaking about that you brought the carbon on a Boma. Answer the Rishonim that only a Goy could bring a Chayo on a Boma. A Jew can never bring a Chayo as a carbon. So obviously we're not talking about Kachim, because if we're talking about Kachim, why does the Mishnah mention Chayo? And another Raya. The Gemara is going to bring a number of Rayas. The Gemara is going to bring a number of Rayas that our Mishnah is not talking about kachim. The su ibe kachim kelayot medem kshera. We're saying that you could shech kachim. We're going to say that our Mishnah is talking about kachim and saying that the shechita of kachim without any dam is still a valid shechita. Who atzmo l'dam mutzarech? What's the whole purpose of shechting a carbon? That you should be able to do zrikas adam. Without any dam, you missed the point. Furthermore, says the Gemara, the su, ibekotchim, was seen to be suggesting that if kiyotz mem dam, if the dam would come out, mi machsher, ask the Gemara, is the dam of a carbon machsher? From where do we learn the dam kachim do not have the ability to be machshir? Shenemar, because the pasuk that says the dam has the same halach as mayim says al oris tishpachenu kamayim. So we learn from this pasuk says Reb Chiya dam shenishpach kamayim, only such blood that shares the same characteristics of mayim, which is just to be spilled, such dam is machshir. Sheena nishpach kamayim. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, "V'su iba kachim kilayotzmem dam lois kashri." We were talking about kachim, and we're saying that if no dam came out, then it should become mukshel kabotuma. Asked the Gemara, and we're going to have this concept, and we've had it. Liskri bechibas ahekdish. There's a concept of chibas hakodesh is machshir. The fact that it was slaughtered for carbon is machshirit. And here too, it's considered that you shlechted it l'shem carbon. It's interesting to point it out. We'll say it again. Why is kibas hakodesh machshir? Why? What does it have to do with, if we're saying a liquid is machshir, so what is the connection between kibas hakodesh and liquid? So Rishonim say a beautiful pshat. Why does this whole din, you know, we keep on learning it, in every mesecht and shas that comes up many times, the food to become mukshel kabotum has to become wet. Why? Because a food getting wet shows that it's complete. It came to its to completion. Karbonis, when you shech them, came to their completion. So the shechita accomplishes the same. So the kaimelon, as we've just said, chibus hakodesh machshartan. So you shouldn't need them. So Gemara has brought no less than four rayas that Amish is not talking about kachim. That's talking about chulin. So we're back to our original question. If it's talking about chulin, and your hand is a shniyah, even if it was wet, big deal. We know that the halacha is that people had maisa sheni produce in their homes, and if they don't want to take up that maisa sheni produce to Yerushalayim, the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, they could redeem the maisa sheni for cash and buy with that money in Yerushalayim food, including meat. That meat isn't chulin. That meat is meiser. Ud loy kremeya, and our Mishnah would not be following the opinion of Remeya. For says the Gemara, the Tanan, kol aton bias maim devisayfrim, anything that is midaraisa tohar, it's only tamim midrabonan, mitama is a kodesh, a paisless a truma, can make kodesh tamay, because the tamay we said could go up to revi by kodesh. So if something is metamim b'divrei soifrim, it's another way of saying it's a shniya. So by kodesh it could be metama, because kodesh could go past the shlishi. By truma it paisel, because it go up to shlishi, truma doesn't go past shlishi. Muta b'chulin u'b'maisa divrei remeya. Maisa is treated like chulin, according to remeya. So saying that our Mishnah speaking about maisa meat doesn't help us. Chum oisrim b'maisa. So we'll say that our Mishnah is talking about Maisa. Ask the Gemara, Maskler of Simirashi, Mamai, how could you explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Chachamim? Dilma, at Kanloi Pligi Rabban Aleid Rameya. Yes, we have a machloikus between Rabban and Rameya, how to treat Maisa. Should we treat it like Chulin or not? Elo, Bechilus Maisa. Could someone who is a Sheni Latruma eat? Somebody who's a sheni, who has hands that are sheni, eat meiser. Av b'negiyah de meiser, when it comes to touching meiser, not eating, just touching meiser, or achil d'chulin, and that has nothing to do with our sugya, lo pligi. Everybody will agree, suggests the Gemara, that touching meiser, if you're a sheni l'toma, is not a problem. And just to stop, why would we make a distinction, asked the Rishonim, between eating and touching? They say beautiful pshat. You could have more than one thing in your mouth at a time. So there's a concern that if you're going to have something tamay in your mouth, at the same time that you have something tar, the tar will touch the tamay, which Chazal don't want. Touching, they didn't have that concern. So the Gemara is saying, even the Rabbanan who are machmirim by Meiser are only machmir as far as eating is concerned, not touching. And our Mishnah says, the Gemara, for Hanukihi, our Mishnah isn't only talking about eating, our Mishnah is talking about touching as well. Why? Let's look at the words of the Mishnah, says the Gemara. Midatani, Amish doesn't say oichlim, it says necholim. What does the word necholim mean? The word necholim means that you feed somebody, you touch it. Necholim yadayim service. And now we're saying that even the Rabbanan, who have the stricter opinion, are of the opinion that somebody who's a sheni l'tumma, somebody whose hands are a sheni l'tumma, is allowed to touch meiser. So even if we're going to say that our Mishnah is talking about meiser, it doesn't help us understand the Mishnah. Isn't our Mishnah, says the Gemara, referring to a situation, the Tosafik Leichavri, that you with your dying that Ashnias are feeding me? That's not a problem, even according to Rabbanim. So we still don't know how to explain our Mishnah. El Amra Papa, Hochabi Yudayim Techilas Askinen. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where your hands are not a Sheni L'tumah, your hands are a Rishon L'tumah. Rav Shimon ben Elazahi. And it's following the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar. Explains the Gemara. The Tanya, the Brisa says, "En yadayim tchilas l'chulin." There is no situation where Chazal made the hands be considered like a rishon. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Of Shimon Elazar, I remember Shimon Meir, yadayim tchilas l'chulin. There is a case that your hand will be considered a rishon for chulin, v'shnius l'chuma. So before the Gemara goes any further, it's a difficult line to understand. We've been learning, and we will continue to be learning, that Chazal and the Torah, not just Chazal, treat Truma so much more stringently than they treat Chulin. So the Gemara is saying we don't understand Rav Shimon ben Elazar's statement. We're going to treat the hands more stringently. We're going to consider this same hand a Rishon for Chulin. And for Truma, it's only a Sheni? Ask the Gemara. Tchilas the Chulin in the Truma lay. You're going to consider that very same hand a rishon as far as chulin is concerned and a sheni as far as trum is concerned? Makes no sense. Hachi kamer. So the Gemara, this is what Rav Shimon ben Elazar meant to say. Tchilas af l'chulin, shnius l'trumas en l'chulin loy. Which means the same as follows. If a hand is a rishon for chulin, it's certainly a rishon for truma. If a hand is a sheni, says Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it'll only have a relevance for Truma, as we said on top of Amit, it won't have any relevance for Chulin. Now, back to our question. So we're saying that our Mishnah is talking not about Stam Yudayim, that we normally consider Yudayim Sheni L'Toma. We're talking about a case that the hand became a Rishon. Ask the Gemara, or Mi Ika Yudayim Tchilas In. What is the case where Chazal would consider a hand a Rishon? So the Gemara gives it. The Tanan. Hechnes Yadol L'Bayis HaMenuga. There was a house that was established that it has a negorim, that it's tsaras, and you just stuck your hand in. You didn't enter your house, just you put your hand in. Yadav tchilas de Rebbe Kiva. So Rebbe Kiva says that that hand is considered a rishon. So now we have pshat in the Mishnah. Your hand became a rishon. How did your hand become a rishon? Because you put it into the house that has a nega. That hand is now allowed to touch chulin, and now it makes a difference if the chulin got wet or not. That's our Mishnah. Chamayim. Yadayv Shneis, that the hand is not, in that circumstance, considered a Rishon. And the Gemara explains this machlokes. Says the Gemara, the Kulama, everybody's in agreement, the Bibel mixes Leishma Bia. Just because you stuck your hand into the house that has a nega doesn't make you completely tamei. For Hacha, and here, the question of their machlokes is the Gzeirah Shiyadav Ata Gufa Kamifugi. Should we make a Gzeirah about your hand, even though the rest of your body has not gone in? Ma'asava, Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, Yadav Kigufa Shavrin Rabbanan, that your hand is considered like your whole body went in, and therefore your hand becomes a Rishon L'Toma, and our Mishnah now is very understandable. Or Ma'asava, Yadayim Kidayim Dalma. Yes, Chazal said that if you put your hand into the house, and the rest of you didn't go in, you're not Tomei Midaraisa, only your hand is Tomei. But what type of Tuma says the Rabbanan, did Chazal put on your hand? A sheni. Why? Because we find that whenever Chazal make a gzeirah that your hand should be tamei, it's a steady. They always say it's a sheni. And this is no different than anywhere else. It should be considered a sheni, not a rishon. Ma'asava, yadayim kidayim da'alma shavrin rabbanim. Ask the Gemara, Gevaldige kasha. Whenever we have a stam mishnah, there's certain tanoim we want to try to establish the mishnah follows. So why are we saying, ask the Gemara, that it's following the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Why don't we say it's following the opinion of Rav Akiva? Rav Akiva just finished telling us that the hand that's put into the house where there's a nega becomes a rishon. And now we were able to understand that that's the case of our mishnah. She said that the Tana of our mishnah is Rav Akiva, not Rav Shimon ben Elazar. That's the Gemara said. Ask. So why don't we say that the Tana of our mishnah is Rav Akiva, Dama Yodav, Tchilas Havid? Why do we have to attribute it to Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Answers the Gemara. Dilma. Yes, Rav Akiva said that if you put just your hand into a house that has a nega, your hand becomes tamei. But suggest the Gemara, you know when Rav Akiva said that? Only for truma and kachim. As far as truma and kachim, Rav Akiva takes a very strict opinion versus your hand, because as I said earlier in this year, as we keep on proving, truma and kachim are considered very serious. Avul chulin, but as far as chulin are concerned, even Rav Akiva will agree it's shnius, and once it's a sheni, we're back to our original kasha, but chulin sheni doesn't mean anything. Ask the Gemara, ilahavi sheni, even if ilahavi nam shnius, let's say you're right, and let's say Rav Akiva indeed holds, as far as chulin is concerned, the hand that was put into the house with a nega is only a sheni. But we have a different opinion of Rav Akiva. Dam sheni ois shlishi b'chulin. Rav Akiva is of the opinion that a sheni does make a shlishi bechulin. What's the raya? The tanan. The mishnah says, "Bar b'yom darshu b'kiva." We know what that means. We remember the Gemara Masechet Brachos. The Gemara Masechet Brachos says Rav Gamliel was the nasi, and there was an issue, and they removed Rav Gamliel from his position, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah became the nasi. And that day, they opened the gates of the yeshiva because Rav Gamliel only let someone who was toicha kabari in. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah had a much more open door policy. And whenever the Shas says "Bay b'yom," there was a lot of learning going on that day. "Bay b'yom darsh b'kiva." V'kol kli cheres yitma. Tamei lo nemer el yitma. L'tamei acherim. Liman al kikis sheni shu'os shlishi b'chulin. Which means as follows. It goes back to a din that we learned the other day. We learned that a kli cheres is metama anything in it. So let's say you have a kli cheres that has a sheret that became tamei. And you put a loaf of bread into that kli cheres. What is the status of that loaf of bread? That loaf of bread becomes a sheni. And the pasuk says, limit al kikis sheni, that loaf of bread that is in the kli cheres, because let's think about it. The sheretz is the av. The kli cheres becomes the rishon. The kikar in the kli cheres is the sheni. And the pasuk teaches us, Rabbi Kiva, says, the sheni shuos shlishi b'chulin. So we see Rav Akiva is the man that holds a sheni, makes a shlishi. So what's the Gemara's question? Even if we'll put together everything we learned now, Rav Akiva will hold that if you put your hand into a house that has a nega, as far as chulin are concerned, your hand is only a sheni. Fine. But we just saw Rav Akiva says that a sheni has the ability by chulin to make a shlishi. So our mishnah will be talking about a hand that's a sheni, and we'll make the chulin, if blood came out of the meat, a shlishi. Answers the Gemara. When did Rav Akiva say that? Hani mili b'tuma deraisa. But here we're talking about a tuma derabanan. The tuma of your hand being put into the house, lo yama. He didn't say that. So therefore, we can't say the Mishnah is following Rav Akiva, because Rav Akiva never said by a tuma derabanan that a sheni can make a shlishi. He only said it by a tuma deraisa. So we still have the question that we began with. What is the case of our Mishnah that we clearly began the Gemara is talking about a chulin, and we're still saying that if my hand is a sheni, if the meat were mukshar, we would have a problem. Where would the problem exist?